Thank you so much, Karachu and Diego. And it's so important to hear you. And I'm so happy you could join us for this webinar. Thank you. And hello to everyone. I'm Katie, the director at the Flourishing Diversity Platform. And just to give you a little bit of background, in 2019, Flourishing Diversity held a series where we were 30 Indigenous representatives, including Tiago and Karachu, came to London, and there was a week-long series of events. There was a summit at University College London, listening sessions held at five different venues across London, and a Gaia Spirit Walk. And it was a really significant event that touched people very deeply. Both the Indigenous speakers who came, listening to other groups that had faced similar challenges and learning from each other, but also from the Western audiences that came and heard Indigenous speakers speak about their life ways like we have been tonight, and the way that these life ways reflect the deep reverence that they hold for the earth and her systems. And listening, I feel an immense gratitude and hope to learn from these cultures that have maintained this deep wisdom regarding human interconnection with the land and the waters and the forests and our fellow species. And also, I feel a grief, for all the challenges that they are living day to day. And also for the absence of these truths in the narratives that I grew up with, and seeing those narratives reflected on a daily basis, whether it's in the media, in the politics, in business, or international NGOs, who really continue to speak as of nature as something that is external to us. Something that is inanimate and for our pleasure, and that we can move around as we see fit. Talking of nature as an asset and giving value to trees because of the carbon that they sequester, and giving no consideration to their sovereign right for life, for the oxygen that they gift, or for the role that they hold for the other species whose life cycles depend upon biodiverse forests and not upon monoculture plantations. And so, in this time of accelerated global change, many more people are seeking solutions to address the mounting consequences of biodiversity loss and climate change. And yet, many of the voices being consulted and making decisions remain those who are raised within cultural mindset that excludes non-humans when prioritizing concepts of future and progress and development. So, as a response, the Flourishing Diversity Platform is inviting us all to embrace the notion of being a flourisher. And so, in part, this means taking an active role in whatever spaces and places we have access to. And in this way, collectively cultivating many diverse, locally appropriate solutions. So perhaps there's a body of water that's near your home or your workplace or a little green patch of land. And could you easily support its flourishing? Perhaps it's just clearing rubbish or organic debris from it, or planting wildflowers for the pollinators to thrive upon. Our partners at London National Park City have a large community of urban-based dwellers who are sharing many ideas and existing projects like these. Be a Flourisher is also an invitation to consider our ecosystem on multiple levels. The rainforests overseas flow and impact our local weather patterns and water levels. So, how can we unite our identity beyond borders and mirror the rest of nature in this way? The first strand of being a flourisher is recognizing and amplifying exactly what we've been talking about tonight. The fact that if we want to create a flourishing life and a flourishing world, we have to support biological and cultural diversity. The two, as we've been hearing, are mutually shaping one another. And when you really wrap yourself around this, and perceive humans as one small subset of nature, they're two expressions of the same thing in constant dynamic relating. So we have a growing case study library, which is giving specific examples of the correlation between biodiversity and cultural practices to help build this body of evidence. And the platform is connecting to organizations, to media platforms, and to events with the artists or researchers and leaders who are already expressing this interconnectedness. And in this way, we're trying to help to bring this deeper narrative to a much wider audience and outside of the echo chamber that it currently exists in. We're also supporting the Nature Culture Initiative at the IUCN to address the divide which plays out in our languaging and to make the flourishing of diversity a goal of their initiative. A second strand to being a flourisher is the promoting and importance of listening to and supporting Indigenous and local communities that are taking care of 80% of the planet's remaining biodiversity as being a key strategy to addressing climate change and biodiversity loss. Obviously, this needs to start happening on a national and international level, and not as tokenism, but as a real opening up and leveling out of power. But there's also a lot that individuals can do to stand in solidarity with guardians of territories of life. So there's a petition that's currently on our web Facebook page that you can sign, which is created by Indigenous communities in the Amazonia. And it's calling the EU to stop the free trade agreement with Brazil, which will essentially backtrack on the acknowledgement the EU has given to the Amazonian being a contributor to the planet's health. So please do look that up and share it. It's a really significant and controversial decision that's been made, and there's a short period of time that can be potentially stopped. Do listen to the listening sessions that we held in 2019 and will continue to hold later this year, and share that with friends and organizations that you're a part of. And another big one is educating ourselves on supply chains, because this trade and consumption is such a huge driver, as we've been hearing, of deforestation. So it's really taking the time to consider the origins of our food, the ingredients in our food, where they might have been sourced, what processes have been involved in creating them, the components of products that we're buying, the processes that went into them, and where necessary, looking for the alternative options that we have. A third strand is to raise fundamental questions for those cultures who are driving biodiversity loss, and spreading the approaches that result in monoculture. So we aim to do this by creating spaces for discussion and inquiry into how we can and must evolve our perspectives and priorities. And just to give a little historical context at this point to the culture that I am from as a Caucasian white person from the UK, specifically England. So land ownership became institutional in this country back in the 11th century. And I mention this because I recall Tiago, when he spoke in London, saying that in Guarani culture, they don't accept the concept of humans having ownership over land. And that really struck me deeply, because it was a concept that I had never questioned, which I had always thought, you know, was just the reality from my culture growing up. And yet hearing that in another culture, they didn't hold the belief that humans could be owners of land. And then also to mention that William the Conqueror, who introduced the forest law, at that point, hunting of local people and even just removing wood from the forests was made illegal. And about 200 years later, at the turn of the 13th century, it was at this point punishable by physical mutilation and death. So when you start to really think of that and the fear that must have been created around the forest for local people, and it dramatically changed the lifeways of this population, eventually led to the common rights. But at this point also, our forests were becoming commercialized because the timber was needed for the ships. And there was this explosion of the Navy for colonial endeavors. And by 1905, just 5.2% of England's woodland remained here. And this mindset has been carried out across the globe. And as many of you will know, England has invaded all but 22 countries in the world. So to return to the platform, we were aiming to create spaces to explore this deep separation of our culture in our cultural psyche. How do we unpick it? How do we tend to the fractures that it has caused here and globally? And how do we begin to listen and learn from all life as we would have done once before these ruptures? How do we align more deeply with the essence, nature of this living earth, including how we align to our own true nature or essence? And as Benki Piako from the Ashaninka said when he was in London, the first step is to know yourself. So Be a Flourisher involves living with awareness of the root principles that we describe on the website. And these are principles many Indigenous cultures embody. In fact, Million has spoken to one of them that I will mention tonight. So it's considering our relationships to all of life, to the land and to the other species, and cultivating a deep respect for all that other life. It's the value of reciprocity, the honoring and giving back to Earth, who gives freely the food, the air, the water, and all the materials that we need to live. And the responsibility that it is to be a human being with this body and this brain that gives us unique abilities and potential to create, to care, to nurture, and to enhance the beauty and the diversity that did and will continue to exist long after us. So thank you.